Breaking news as we come on the air. Tonight, an 11th hour extension on debt ceiling talks. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen late today issuing a deadline to raise the debt limit. White House and Republican negotiators locked in a stalemate, now with a little more breathing room. The Treasury Department estimating the U.S. will go into default on June 5th, giving both sides an extra 4 days to reach a deal. Some hardline Republicans refusing to pass a bill unless their demands are met. What's at stake for millions of Americans? Rachel Scott on the Hill. Terrifying moments for airline passengers coming in for a landing. A passenger opening an emergency door about 850 feet above the ground. Passengers gripping their seats, wind whipping through the cabin. 12 people taken to the hospital with respiratory issues. Gio Benitez standing by. The holiday travel rush is on. 42 million Americans expected to drive or fly over the long Memorial Day weekend. More passengers expected to fly since before the pandemic. Severe storms from Texas to Colorado could impact holiday plans. The tornado watch late today and the warning about possible rip currents from Florida to the Northeast. Rob Marciano timing it out. 24 hours after the founder of the Oath Keepers was sentenced to 18 years in prison for seditious conspiracy, two more members today sentenced for their roles in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. One of them today in the courtroom calling her actions wrong and criminal. The scathing new report on the elite Navy SEALs training course detailing a near-perfect storm of failures following the death of recruit Kyle Mullen just hours after completing so-called Hell Week. Martha Raddatz here tonight. Surveillance video showing an alarming school bus crash in South Carolina. The bus colliding with a truck. More than a dozen students and one adult injured. The FBI revealing a decades-old plot to kill Queen Elizabeth during a visit to the U.S. And tonight, major headlines from two popular singers, what Paul Simon and Celine Dion are both sharing about their health and their futures.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Friday night. I'm Whit Johnson in for David. And as we head into the Memorial Day weekend, still no deal yet to raise the debt ceiling. But a surprise 11th hour extension of that stark deadline to avoid a potentially catastrophic U.S. default. Late today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying June 5th is now the date when the government will be unable to pay its bills. That's 4 days later than first thought. Speaker Kevin McCarthy telling reporters the two sides have made progress. And at the White House today, President Biden expressing hope. But Secretary Yellen warned that even waiting until the last minute can cause severe hardship to American families and harm our global leadership. Tonight, millions of Americans who rely on federal aid are anxiously eyeing those negotiations. ABC's senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott leads us off on Capitol Hill.
Tonight, a last-minute extension on the deadline to raise the debt limit, now June 5th, as the White House and Republican leaders scramble to reach a deal before the government runs out of money to pay its bills. But the extra 4 days doesn't come without a dire prediction from the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, warning a default would cause severe hardship to American families, harm our global leadership position, and raise questions about our ability to defend our national security interests. Back on Capitol Hill, a stalemate. Republicans are demanding spending cuts in exchange for raising the debt limit, insisting a deal must include stricter work requirements for people who receive federal aid.
Are you willing to drop that work requirements and disagree?
Hell no. Hell no. Not a chance.
But for Democrats, that's a non-starter. Tonight, sources tell ABC News negotiators are eyeing a possible deal that would limit and raise the $31 trillion borrowing limit through the 2024 presidential election.
And I'm going to work as hard as we can to try to get this done, get more progress today, and finish the job. I'm a total optimist.
If the nation defaults, as many as 8 million jobs could be lost. More than a million troops would go unpaid. And for the 66 million Americans who rely on Social Security checks, payments could come to a grinding halt. 56-year-old Pamela Gamby from Virginia says those payments are her livelihood.
Without Social Security and SNAP, not only would we be homeless, my goodness, we wouldn't have money to buy food with.
This debate having a real impact on so many. Rachel Scott with us now. And Rachel, despite negotiators getting a few extra days, what happens to those millions of Americans still expecting their federal payments on June 1st?
Well, what the Treasury Secretary says, Americans who rely on Social Security and Medicare payments will still get those checks at the beginning of the month. But once that money goes out, the Treasury Department will be left with extremely low resources. As for where the talks stand tonight, just moments ago, the president left the White House. He says they are very close to a deal and that he is hopeful. Whit.
Critical days ahead. Rachel Scott, thank you. Next tonight, the air travel nightmare, a passenger opening a door in flight. The airline confirming this video here, terrified passengers you can see near the open door gripping the arms of their seats. The plane landed safely earlier today at the airport in South Korea, but 12 people were hospitalized. One man is now under arrest. ABC's Gio Benitez with new details tonight.
Tonight, a 33-year-old man is under arrest after opening the emergency exit on this Asiana Airlines plane mid-flight. The airline confirming this video from social media shows the chaotic scene on board. Wind violently whipping through the cabin, passengers bracing in their seats after the man opened the door about 850 feet above the ground, just after the captain had made a routine landing announcement. The domestic South Korean flight landing safely with the emergency door still open. 12 of the 194 passengers on board transported to the hospital, suffering breathing problems and other minor symptoms.
The fact that this happened at very low altitude just prior to touchdown means that everybody should have been belted in. Nobody was going to get sucked out of the airplane. But the person who opened the door certainly was in danger of falling out.
South Korean authorities have not indicated a motive, saying the passenger was traveling alone and showed no signs of being drunk. And with South Korean transportation authorities are investigating this incident. If convicted, the passenger could face up to 10 years in prison.
What? So scary for those passengers on the plane. Gio, thank you. And the travel rush is on for Memorial Day weekend. Nearly 3.4 million people expected to fly this holiday, 11% more than last year and 5% more than 2019 before the pandemic. Few cancellations or delays reported today, but volume forced a ground stop for a period of time at New Jersey's Newark Airport. Meantime, today is the busiest day for traveling by car. More than 37 million Americans expected to drive to their destinations this weekend, 2 million more than last year, slightly lower than pre-pandemic numbers. And with all those Americans on the move, there is a severe weather threat from Montana to Texas, including a tornado watch at this hour. And in the east, a slow-moving storm is heading into the Carolinas and triggering dangerous rip currents from Florida to New Jersey. Let's get to ABC's senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano. And Rob, take us through the timing of these storms into the weekend.
Well, these are two big areas, Whit, that are going to give us headaches over the holiday weekend. We'll start first with the Western High Plains severe problems that we have. Two big watch boxes are up. One, a tornado watch from Santa Fe back through West Texas. And you see the storms rumbling through Denver, Cheyenne, up through eastern Montana. That severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 9 o'clock. These will fire again, I think, in the same places tomorrow. Now, this coastal low swings into the Carolinas tomorrow. Heavy rain, Charleston, Myrtle Beach, inland through Columbia, gets over the Appalachians. And then it gets us about as far north as Delaware with gusts. Winds, coastal flooding, and rough surf, but the rip currents will extend all the way into the dry zone. That includes New Jersey and back down through Florida as so many people head to the beaches on this holiday weekend. Whit?
And we'll be tracking it closely, Rob. Thank you. Next tonight, an Army veteran and former member of the Oath Keepers sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for her actions on January 6th. Jessica Watkins, who trained other members to fight, was one of those who climbed to the Capitol in that military-style stack formation. The judge calling her more than a foot soldier, and another sentence handed down late today. Here's ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent, Pierre Thomas.
Just 24 hours after the founders of the Oath Keepers were sentenced to 18 years in prison, judgment day for one of his top lieutenants for her role in storming the Capitol. Jessica Watkins was part of that infamous unit of Oath Keepers in helmets and paramilitary gear seen marching up the Capitol steps. The so-called stack unit standing out among the sea of protesters. Tonight, Watkins sentenced to nearly 9 years in prison, the judge citing her role in training Oath Keepers to fight. Here's her voice that chaotic day, speaking with her comrades.
We have a good group. We got about 30, 40 of us. We're sticking together and Sticking to the plan.
We'll see you soon, Jess. Airborne.
Do that, brother. Godspeed and fair winds to us.
Amen, sister. Stay safe.
Today, Watkins tried pleading for leniency, tearing up before the judge, saying she was just another idiot running around the Capitol, acknowledging my actions and behaviors on that fateful day were wrong and, as I now understand, criminal. But the judge at sentencing saying Watkins was far more than a foot soldier. While acquitted of seditious conspiracy, Watkins was convicted of obstructing a government proceeding and of conspiring to block Joe Biden from the presidency. Another Oath Keeper, Kenneth Harrelson, seen here near the stack unit, today sentenced to 4 years in prison.
There have been well over 600 January 6 convictions, and we're often seeing defendants get years in prison. DOJ working hard to send a message of deterrence. Whit?
Pierre Thomas reporting from Washington. Thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine. Russia launching new strikes on several areas, including a medical center. At least two civilians killed, three others still missing, and dramatic images tonight of a confrontation on the Black Sea involving drone boats loaded with explosives. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Ukraine.
Tonight, a deadly Russian missile strike on a medical clinic in Dnipro, killing at least two, injuring more than 30, including children. Ukrainian rescue crews racing to put out the flames, responding to calls of people still missing in the rubble. But Ukraine now stepping up its tactics, targeting Russian military assets, even those deployed far from the battlefield. Lethal drone boats this week homing in on a Russian warship off the coast of Turkey. One of the unmanned explosive vessels appearing to reach that ship. Another dodging but hit by the Russian warship's guns and exploding. Russia saying that warship remains operational. Ukraine also attempting to weaken the Russian army ahead of a counter-offensive promised soon. These troops part of one of nine newly formed Ukrainian brigades.
These soldiers are training, practicing clearing Russian positions.
The troops supplied with US infantry vehicles. Oleg, a 15-year veteran, says morale is high.
Why is it high?
Because we defend our lands.
You're motivated.
Of course.
And since our filming, the brigade moving. They are now on the front line.
And Whit, tonight, Ukraine accusing Russia of planning to cause an explosion at the Russian-occupied Zaporizhia nuclear power plant and then falsely blame Ukraine. Russia responding, saying it's Ukraine who's preparing a provocation at the plant. Whit?
All right, Tom Sufi Burridge, thanks to you tonight. And from the Vatican, a health concern for Pope Francis canceling his scheduled meetings today because he's running a fever. Vatican officials say the Pope had a very busy week, including a meeting yesterday with a large group of people. In March, a bout of bronchitis put him in the hospital for 3 days. But the pontiff is still expected to preside over Pentecost Mass on Sunday. Back here at home, the Navy's investigation into its grueling Navy SEAL selection course, finding it had become dangerous and even deadly. The investigation coming after 24-year-old Kyle Mullen collapsed and died just hours after completing what's known as Hell Week. Tonight, Kyle's brother is speaking out, calling for the Navy to be held accountable. Here's ABC's Chief Global Affairs Correspondent, Martha Raddatz.
Navy SEAL selection has always been grueling, but in recent years, says this highly critical report, the training has taken on unacceptable risk, leaving some candidates injured, hospitalized, and even one young SEAL candidate dead. The report citing what it called a near-perfect storm with lack of leadership, insufficient risk assessment, and wholly inadequate medical monitoring and care following the notorious Hell Week. 24-year-old Kyle Mullen had successfully finished Hell Week in February of 2022, then was released by medical staff to his barracks, even though his lungs were deemed abnormal and his legs so swollen he was wheelchair-bound. The report says at the barracks, Mullen was struggling to breathe, but there was no medical personnel available. And when fellow candidates finally found a duty officer, the report says the provider insisted care wasn't needed. Mullen died shortly afterwards.
From our perspective, many people were involved. Many people tried to cover up, committed wrongdoings, and accountability has not come.
Graduation rates from the SEALs had been declining in recent years, the report saying one commander blamed it on this generation of SEAL candidates for having less mental toughness, and another saying zero is an okay number, hold the standard.
Martha Raddatz joining us now. Martha, we heard Kyle's brother there mentioning accountability. How is the Navy responding now?
With the Navy's already made changes to the course, and multiple Navy personnel could still face disciplinary action, but the head of Naval Special Warfare says they will embrace all of the recommendations to improve the training. Whit.
Martha, thank you. Now to South Carolina, where a judge has temporarily paused the state's new abortion ban until the state Supreme Court can weigh in. It comes 24 hours after Governor Henry McMaster signed the new law that would ban abortion after about 6 weeks before many women know they are pregnant. The measure passed the state Senate despite the resistance of all five female senators, three of them Republicans. When we come back, here's surveillance video showing an alarming school bus crash in South Carolina. The bus colliding with a truck, more than a dozen students hurt. And two popular singers, Paul Simon and Celine Dion, and what they're both revealing tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Next tonight, authorities are searching for a missing American teenager who went overboard during a trip to the Bahamas. Family and friends in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, hoping for the return of Cameron Robbins. Police say he was on a trip with students when he jumped from a sunset cruise, possibly on a dare. He arrived in the Bahamas just hours earlier and graduated high school last Sunday. A frightening collision involving a school bus and tanker truck in Lexington County, South Carolina. Surveillance video shows the truck broadsiding the school bus just seconds after the bus was pulled away from a stop sign. 36 children on board at the time, 17 students and one adult were hurt. They were taken to the hospital and later released. Police now investigating the crash.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 Central on ABC.
To the index now, the FBI revealing a decades-old assassination plot targeting Queen Elizabeth. Newly released documents show a man called police during her visit to San Francisco in 1983. He told an officer he wanted to harm the Queen after his daughter was killed in Northern Ireland. He said he would either drop something from the Golden Gate Bridge as her royal yacht sailed underneath, or he would try to kill her when she visited Yosemite. No word on whether the caller was arrested. Singer Paul Simon revealing his battle with hearing loss. Now 81 years old, he says he suddenly lost most of the hearing in his left ear. It reportedly happened while recording a new album. He says he thought it would pass, but it hasn't repaired itself. His last tour was in 2018. And singer Celine Dion canceling her world tour. Diagnosed with a neurological condition in December, she's still trying to recover. She posted an apology to fans saying the decision breaks her heart. She also says, quote, I'm not giving up and I can't wait to see you again. Finally tonight, America Strong, the young cheerleader, not just firing up the crowd, she's inspiring them as well.
Watch 12-year-old Kaylee Harrell practicing with her cheer team at Hillcrest Middle School in Glendale, Arizona. Right there in the middle in the flyer position. The feat all the more impressive because Kaylee is blind.
There's nothing that really goes through my head because I trust them so much.
And those teammates are inspired by her every day.
She shows us that anything's possible with a little bit of hard work.
Kaylee was born with a degenerative eye disease, which has gradually taken her sight. But even at age 6, nothing could stand in her way.
Don't give up with anything.
Before Kaylee lost her vision, she made a bucket list for years, traveling to special places she wanted to see.
There's not words to explain it on how thankful I am that I at least got to see some of the things in the world before I went fully blind, because there are kids that were born that don't have any vision.
First, a gymnast. Then she joined the cheer team after fully losing her sight last year. Her strong performance helping the team win this year's regional cheer competition.
Your Courage Award goes to Kaylee Harrell.
Kaylee also honored with a Courage Award, never afraid to push her limits while motivating others.
The way that you are courageous is to be brave and take risks and see what happens.
Words of wisdom. Way to go, Kaylee. Thanks so much for watching tonight. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Hope to see you right back here tomorrow. For David and all of us here, have a great night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.